Mr. Mackenzie, Rio 13. I will just come up to the Christmas of 1952, but before that, you were involved in two operations in your second tour in the line, Operations Bladen and Willington. Do you remember them?
Yes, I remember them too. The first one was Ear Company going through the lines, coming through, going over through our positions and up there. And they went, I think it was our position, so I'm nearly sure they came through, some of them came through, and they went down into the valley, so we'd had to have a stand patrol or a fight, and I think D Company, I'm not quite sure it was D Company, I think D Company was the one that put the white marker up for them to go in, and they were going to attack a hill. It was held by Chinese, or North Koreans, whichever it may be. And they had to go on that one, and they went in that one. But the second one, me and an officer, and I can't remember the officer's name, we went out and we had to put the white line out, the white streamer out, and went in, and so far along. And we stopped off with two or three, we stood back, when they went across and placed that one. And where we were in a valley, and it was like a closed in. And I can remember that because when we sat there, what they like lie down and make sure. And like when they were coming back again, they started to let all hell loose again, like anything else, mortars and that one. And the reason why I remember because it was strange how it came across. They'd get the Ear Company. There was a few lads, and if they were hurt. They were helping to show them where to go across and were pointing to the way they had to go. Because the streamer came so far, and then after that one, there was men at a certain part where they were passing and getting checked in. And that was what it was. So we were there. And we had to wait till we got the order. And then what they pulled the streamer in. But when that happened, there was a mortar, and there was mortars coming down. And the one that came down, I was stunned, and it just went straight down. And I heard the noise, didn't see it. How it didn't blow up, I will never know. But it went down, and it just plopped. It didn't go off. And you can imagine what it's like to stand and see something like that. So you get up, you look, well, I'm alive. So we just rolled this bloody white tape up, stuck it there, what we've got. And came back over.
How far from you did the round land?
Well, let's put it this way, it was about four metres away, if it was that. But it seemed a lot bloody closer than that one because it just hit where we went like that, and you could hear it pluck. And how it didn't go up, I don't know. It must have hit ice or something like that, and just there, because it couldn't have done anything else, because normally when they go there. So the three were there. The officer was in front of the officer, and the three were there, and just going back, pick the other lads going up. So that was why it sticks very well in your mind. And about shortly after that one, about a fortnight later after that one, we had to go down there again, the same way, to see if anybody had moved or been tampering with the material that we put. It was still rolled up where we'd placed it. And sure enough, just as we were coming across, the bloody thing, the whole lot of them buggers went up again. There were no mortars. And all of a sudden, the three of them went up on the thing. So we just think ourselves lucky. Now, the other lads, I can't remember, but he says to me, he says, there's a God in heaven. He says, I'm going to make sure I pray for him. And that was the words to that one. So that was the word I remember about why that was put in my mind.
What went through your mind when that happened?
You don't think. You just hope that you didn't see it. It's more. The only time you ever worry when you're going through your mind is when you're getting shelled or when you're getting mortar and you've got there because you get your head down and everything else. But there was no way we could get down there in that time. So that was the reason why I can remember that.
I just wanted to mention a little bit in detail about those two particular operations. How many men were involved in the two operations?
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think there was. I think there was 40 went in. I think it was 40. I'm 40, I think it would be. There would be more than that one if you're talking about, you know, the backup teams, what we are. You know what I mean? When you're going down, the stretcher bearer is not one. But I think the top went in with 40, I think it was 40 men.
So who would be in charge of that particular operation? We're talking about the first one.
Air company officer. Who was the officer in charge? Air company officer would be there with the men that was there. There'd be, I should imagine, be two sergeants, a couple of corporals in, you know, that one. And the rest be the bodies, you know, with the machine guns and everything else. It'll be a wireless operator, of course. You'd have to get that one if you're getting that. Well, if you're coming down, you want to bring mortar fire, that's the automatic there. And you've got to tell them what you've got to do. And you've got to, when you come back, you've got to come like a base, you know, when all men's got to come through and check. So there'll be two men, air company leave two men there, or, you know, two men at that point. And as they come down, they'll check them out, check them back, and come through. So they would come out as a reasonably, you know, group. So you'd go in and you spread out, as you'd imagine, on the spur. You spread out and you'd go up whichever was going to go in. I don't know where you're going, forward or that one, but that's how you go. You've got to remember you're going up hills. You can't just go in forward line. You'll have to do it up the street and then spread yourselves out, move in.
What would be the purpose of them?
They'd try and get a prisoner. It was to go and get a prisoner. It was a prisoner wanted.
So you'd be going into the Chinese lines to try and capture someone.
Yeah. You know, I want to see what another thing was this, like, see how they laid out and everything else. If there was any movement in that one, but it was mostly for a prisoner. I don't think they got a one actually.
So what was your specific role in the operations?
The only thing was there when the second one was to roll the white lines out, stand there. When they went past and when they came through, as soon as they came through, we were the three men and the officer, we would come in, they would bring the tape, you know, the tape in, right? Something might be dragged a little bit, one of them might be dragged a little bit in, then we would bring it in, roll it, well, not roll it away, because it's on a tape like it's there, but when you roll it that way and you're in a hurry, it just bundled, and that was what it was.
How did you prepare for them? Was there any specific training or organisation to prepare for these operations?
No, just come through the officers. It would be the officers would be trained. It would be at a meeting. And all you're doing is just to tell you what you're going to do. So you just go down, sit there, which you normally do. You'd have your, you know, the arms. Well, I'd have my Sten. We'd have a Bren. And the other lad would maybe be carrying a rifle. That was what it was. So one Bren that. Rifle on the side, me the Sten, and of course I'd be a liaison with the officer.
Yeah, because you were a corporal.
Yeah, and I was only a lance corporal then, I think. Lance was a corporal then. Yeah, and that was how we'd do it, because that was before they, and that was how we, that's how it was, and we came back, and as soon as they'd gone through, we'd just go back in the line, close go through the, I suppose it'd be a standing, a guard beside the entrance to the minefields.
The minefield and the wire.
And they would cut they came in with us as well.
Would you go out first?
They would go down first. They would be there. Then we would go through them. Go down, wait there. The opposite comes down. Then the company would come through again after that one, right? And they would go past us, and then come back. They would come back. And they came back. We would be the next one, and then the guard would close the gap. And then they would come in.
And how long did these operations last?
Well, they start if it was darkness at the time, that would be, you'd start about 4 o'clock. You'd get your tea, you'd stand till for about 5 or 6 o'clock that night. You'd be standing till then. And after that one, you're just waiting through it. Somewhere you come off and do other thing. You know, you don't stand there, you move. Once you stood till and it comes down, but when there's an action like that goes, then most of the men would be, you know, placed. It'd be 50% of the company be on duty. So also the machine, if there was machine gun, there'd be a machine gun. But we wouldn't have that one to see.
How did you feel about, what would your reaction to have to go on these operations? How did you react to that?
Well, you just look at the draw. If you pick the draw and you got it, yeah, that was your luck, that was it. Simple as that. No, there's no backing out of it. You just got to, if your number comes up and you put on that one, you went out. If you had done one, you were hoping that you know for a fact you'd miss the next one, somebody else would let go. But once you've done something, well, you look at the thing, how many people's there, and say 1, 2, 3, 4, if possible.
What about other men? How did they react? Did they show the feelings?
Oh, yes. A lot of them, some men took fright and everything else. Some of them did. They put it again and again. They couldn't work there. You had to stand too. At the end of the day, they know for a fact if they're going to get, they've got to stand and fight. And that was what it was. But it's hard. It's a situation where you're learning. And that's what the word is, learning. You can tell them all the time, but you're just learning. And as the men, as they come in, and if you've got the same people, and you always got to be worried in case somebody maybe come up the line, what you didn't recognise. So when you're coming back and you're going to go into, you know, lie down, or, you know, we would lie down, and there would be like 4 hours, and they would be that one. You're hoping somebody, you know, hasn't come up before you, because that was one of the problems you had. Because in the dark, you don't see many things, and it's just halt, you know, that's where it was. And the lines is, that's it. If there's people coming down, somebody say there's men coming down, right? And that's it. Well, you knew that one, therefore you're prepared for it. And pass through the lines, if anything else.
How about the officers and the NCOs? How did they fare during these operations?
Officers? Well, they would just come down and tell you where it was. And there'd only be one going out at the time. So when one would have to go out. Well, that's to say, the officer would, one would be out, so there'd be 2 officers in. And they'd do the administration. Well, they wouldn't do that one because the sergeant of the clear would take over. But he would be in the, if it was, he'd be in there, and he'd have to be in contact with the other 2 officers. So he would be there, and they'd just keep in communication with it.
How do you think that they reacted to the stress of the situation and leading men out in these operations? How did they?
Well, just the same as what we did. They've got the same feelings and everything else. They learn, but when you go out there and you've got to go, it's not a nice place, I'll be quite honest.
Were there any casualties in these 2 operations?
Oh, yes, I think there was 16, I think it was 16 in the first one. And I think there was, I'm not quite sure, in the second one, I can't remember. I think there was, I knew about 4 of them had got wounded. One belongs Jarrow, one belongs Sunderland. There was one from Gated, he got hurt as well. And there was maybe, with the weather or something like that, somebody might have, you know, fallen down or hurt themselves, you know, cut themselves, which has happened every time, but you don't count them, you see, you just count as the one that was wounded and taken away.
Did it cause any problems with morale when... You know, there were a lot of casualties on one occasion like that.
No, you just didn't give.
It was just accepted.
You just, they had been in and they had gotten the short straw. You got the short straw, well then it was your thing, but if you got caught, well, that was it.
So you came out of the line shortly after that, didn't you?
Yes.
Just before the Christmas, is
just
that,
before the
that
Christmas,
correct?
That's right, we'd done, that's what I totally, we dug in after that one, we dug in, and then we went back, I went back in the 20s, it was a Christmas, I went on the 26th, I had to go on the 26th, it was me and another NCO would go.
Why was that?
For advance party, on the new positions, so you'd go up and leaving us, we're up there for learning off the people that was there, and sorting out.
Do you remember what they called these positions?
Yeah.
Where were?
They were just areas or a hills, that was what it was. It was all the hills. I wouldn't remember the hills now. The only one I can remember is 355. The Hoot would be another one. The one where almost 214 or 218, something like that. The only hills, and that was what it was. If you went in sometime, you went in and you had a look at the you know, when you went in the OP, something, you may see a map. Put up very little because it was only showing you the basics in that one. And it had been changed quite a lot then because of the bombardment and the way the They were knocking the place to bits. The way there was trees in the winkles, you could see certain parts of the road if you got up, but you only had to get on the big field buses, which we didn't use a lot of at the time. We were that keen just to do our duty and get our heads down.
Do you know where this new position was in relation to where you'd been before?
To the left, that was to the left of where we'd be before. It was the left, we moved up on the other side. This is the next one we went on, it was a valley, it's like a bit of a valley. And there was trees in this one. We're still in winter because it's freezing up there, in that one. It's the only one you can remember being freezing, because on New Year's Day, we're up on the front line. And we're doing the wiring, and Jeffries and Colonel Jeffries and another officer came, and they wished me a happy new year. And that was the time a couple were doing something, took our gloves off, and unfortunately to stop the thing from dropping, because somebody had hit the thing and dug the hole, and the picket was going down, stopped it from making a noise. I grabbed it, and unfortunately, it freezes out there. So the only way you can do it, and you kind of get it if your hand is there. So you've got to hope somebody wants to have a urinate. And if you can do that one, well, push it on your hands. Otherwise, your skin comes up your fingers, and you stick to it. And I mean, see, it's happened a couple of times with your fingers getting caught with that type of thing. Right up through to come, you know, all the time, because the weather was atrocious up there. So that's where it was. So, one of the things.
Who did you take over for in this second position?
We took the Royal Warwickshire, I think it was the Royal Warwickshire we took over from them.
And I think you described it as being in a bit of a valley, this one.
Yes, a valley, and it was mostly, quite a bit of trees about it, and nothing else. There was in the back end, they'd get these new block hutches, what the Americans were building. They were big buildings, so there'd be about six you were in there. There could be six, maybe six in one of these big buildings. They were made of six by nine blocks of wood over the top. And some of them had two corner ones in, you know, and just the stone down. And occasionally there may be one where you've got another couple of woods in. And you could sleep there. That's what you slept in on the rear. And we were on the rear because we came down in the rear that day. And we were cutting the wood, the trees, the wire up. We were cutting these stakes up, putting handles on, cutting them with the axes and stuff like that, so it would stop the noise from going down. And that's where it was. That's where it was.
So how far from the front was this position that you were in on this second occasion?
Well, you would be the front. The two companies would be up front. There'd be the machine guns and that one. So would be down for about the fort. And we went up in the front. We were up in the front there. And when we went through, that was where we started doing a lot of patrolling that day. Then there was quite a few patrols going on.
Just before we come to that, where was the enemy in relation to these lines?
I wouldn't like to see it because I can't remember really. If you see it, there would be about the same again. There would be nearly 1,000 yards. Could be 1,000, could be a little bit more, but that was what it was. Or it could be in the same mile, depending which way you look at it, which way the hills were and which way they what their position were. But it was this, when we're on that position, we used to go out. And I can remember this one because the first one, I got bit by a bloody rat on that one. When it there, I was like there and it jumped down and bit me arm. And the next one was when you go into Hutchie, this one, you're going down into it. And I'd been on patrol and I'd get my leg wrapped around the blinking barbed wire. And we're getting bitten by these bloody bugs, whatever they were like the backs was there. And we had all our winter gear on. And we got bit by these because we're sitting beside a farmhouse. Like in the village would have been destroyed. But we dug in. These trenches were actually dug. They were just like full, just water. But it was you know, it was ice in the big thing, so you couldn't get it there. So you stand beside them, right? You didn't there. But they were there. If you want to get in, you soon, you know, move into them, you know, because it was like dropping. And that was where we got bitten. And we said, we really got bit with these bloody... And it, well, we haven't got a clue what they were. But when we came back, we were bucks. We were five or six. We came back and they were all marked.
You were describing these hoochies, they're obviously a lot better than what you've been used to.
Oh, yeah, they were getting well. The other ones was just breaking little tree branches over and something there. The only trouble was where the new ones were there, they'd been putting the soil on, the soil would be there because they dug in and they'd be using them. I don't know whether the gooks put them in or not because they were in. When we got there, they were still putting a couple in, you know what I mean? But they would be there. But some of them had still was their soil still dropping through them. So if you pick the wrong point, you got, you know, there were the rats. They started digging and it was all of them. You can always tell when they were there because they used to come along and walk across the roof on them. You could hang them, would you just hang like that and walk on with their feet?
Did they have beds in these then? You say the
there would be beds in because they've got the in bunks. We've got the in bunks. So we must be lying like that somewhere. There's six of us, so it would that be that way. Be three on this side and three on that side, I imagine. It would be that way.
How did you keep them warm? Because this was the middle of winter, wasn't it?
Just the same, no. You only got your food, and that was it. No heating, no.
No form of.
The heating was. You could go where the cookhouse was. There'd be a cookhouse. So if you were on the bottom end, there'd be heating there because there were. You could cook on the back of this one because you weren't in actually facing it. You're on the slope on the back end, so they were in there, right? And I must say there would be quite a few. The only in. It would be that one.
There was no method of heating in the hoochie itself?
No.
Anything like that?
No, sleeping bags was the only thing you had, sleeping bags.
How did you keep the cold out then?
How did you keep the cold up? Well, if you had your blanket, and somewhere at the time when it was that blinking cold, we decided that the blanket, like your blanket, or you had one blanket, in some ways, you know, when they were out, so you pinch the other bloke's blanket if he's away, right? Put that on you. You'd had your sleeping bag, right? You're off the ground, so that would be it, and it would be closed. So the heat in there, the steam was the condensation, so the body heat temperature would do the same thing, right? That would be one of the things. So that would be it. Well, if someone started to decide it was that blinking cold and we couldn't stand the cold, we started to cut a hole in the blanket, wrap it, put it over our heads, right? And tie it round with a belt. Then put your coat over the top so you could keep yourself warm. And that was another one we started doing with. And of course, when you come out, you know, there was a bit argy bod with the blankets, but that was how we used to keep ourselves warm. You know? Ooh, three, we'll pinch a couple of blankets or somewhere, or pinch somewhere from somewhere. And that was what we're doing. So it was that was to keep you warm so you weren't going out.
What about sanitation in this position?
It was quite reasonable because you're on a back hill, so you would have a toilet facility in there. You've got the toilet. So every hoochie would have a pipe in it because they'd done that type of thing, right? It would drain into that one. So it was reasonable, that one.
So each hoochie had a pipe in the side?
And just in the ground. It was just in the ground. The toilets would be just two beer barrels put on a couple of woods, and that was how you used to use the wood. That was your toilets.
And what about food in this? I think you mentioned
toilet. You just go down. You would get your hot meals there because you're on the back end. There would be a cookhouse there. There'd be a tent there where they bring the stuff, or they'd bring the wagons. We could bring the wagons up there because I think it was the road up. You know, road up there. Because once you got in, we didn't go very many times out. You could go down to Yeshlon. I think the Yeshlon was. Quite a few, you know, go down the Ashland because of the cold, and you go down there, get yourself a warm or something like that during the day. You weren't required.
How far it was the Ashland away?
Oh, be about, three or four miles.
Did the Ashland move with you because you'd moved position at this
time? Well, they would take, when we moved from there, if you were taking a position over, they would take over and you would take their positions over and you'd bring their materials over. whether they did or not, because I never worked in the echelon, so I wouldn't know what those facilities went on. But I should imagine that was what it was. They could have stopped where they were, you know, in the same position, and that could have been there. Or, but thinking about it, you'd have to have somebody to bring it close to hand.
How often were supplies brought up, and how were they brought up?
I never had much to do with that one. The only thing that was there was if they were later on in lifetime, the gooks started when they were bringing the labourers to the farm, or ammunition or something like that. Then, you know, but otherwise, nothing, didn't have much to do with it.
And what sort of things were you doing here at this time? What was your normal daily routine?
The routine would just be preparing. If you were preparing for that day, you'd get, like I say, we'd be on for a couple of days cutting them trees. You know, with this saw, one would cut them down, one would try to shape them, and that was it. Then when you're going out the night, if you're going to go out in the night time, you just, the opposite come up and pick you. You know, and that was, then you'd go on there. So there was a couple of fighting patrols went out there. We were, as I say, we were out on this fighting, what I call it again, the ambush patrol, it was there. And that was on the road. And it was just like a bridge there. Couldn't see much of it because it's still bloody dark. The only time you see anything was when there was, you know, the shell was going across, or there was bombing going across, which happened most of the night.
How many patrols did you go out on yourself?
I don't know. One. Two. I think I'd done three on that one. When we went up front, I'd done the stand patrol and I'd done the wire guard. I'd done the wire guard about three times up there. And that's where we lost the officer and the sergeant.
Donoghue. I think you described earlier it was blown up in a minefield.
The minefield had been worn and he slipped in, he went down on the side and the wrong way. That's where I got bit by the blinking rat. And as I say, I got hurt with the when I come back, when we're in the reserves, I come back and I forgot about the drop into the bunker. So when I come down, somebody had moved whatever we were using at the time. It'd be like a stool or some type of thing, a box. And I slipped on that one. I went down and I hit Kimmy knee, another good hiding. So about 3 or 4 days later, about a week later, I didn't realise what was happening. Seeing my knee was getting there. So I went to the doctors and I think I finished up in hospital that time. I finished in the hospital there. I went down to Norwegian Marsh, where they gave us quite a few needles. They would give us a needle every 1 hour of the first 24 hours, and 20 after that one, every 2 hours after that, for the next one, and then they start to ease up again. But I had a couple of, in the Kiwi and an Australian beside us, on either side of us, in the beds, and they like to have a go at us as well, so they were trying with us.
How long were you there for?
I think it was there for a fortnight or 3 weeks. I can't remember much of the first week. I can remember Sweet Corporal coming and doing a show, and I've got my arms here, one arm's up here and the other one's up here. And I kind of dean, I think, they've got to feed us, because they're both swelling, and my arms is that out like there. They're a little bigger than what my legs were.
Your arms?
Yeah, my arms is bigger than what my legs were. And I'm the big bloke, I tell you. But that's what it was.